Take your Bibles, please, and open them to 1 Corinthians 6. So for those of you who are around most of the time, you know that we have been following an F260 reading plan that's printed there on the bottom of the bulletin. It's a Bible reading plan we've been encouraging you to follow, and all of our sermons have come from the previous week's reading. So you read last week from Nehemiah 13, and then you read the book of Malachi, so you came expecting to hear the last Old Testament sermon from the series, but I want to break away from that, so my apologies. If you want to stick around this afternoon, I'll be glad to preach an eighth sermon today and get that to you. But because of our baptisms, I really wanted to preach to Dylan and Jake and Ella and Max and Kylie. This sermon is for you and for everybody else, too. I want to talk about baptism, not so much in what we do, but really what it means, the implication of it for us. When we're baptized, we are demonstrating outwardly and physically what has happened in our lives. What Christ has done for us, and what we are pledging ourselves to. Romans 6 says that we are buried in the likeness of His death. When we plunge Dylan and Jake and Ella and Kylie and Max, when we plunge them under the water, when you were plunged beneath the water, you were picturing Christ's death, but you were also picturing your death, the death of your old person, your old self. The old man, the old woman is gone, and you were raised into a new life. Now, baptism doesn't save you. You know what? We could line everybody up here, and I could dunk all of you, and it would mean nothing if you did not have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it is possible for you to be a believer, put your faith and trust in Jesus, and not be baptized, and you are still a child of God. However, in the New Testament, we see over and over and over again those who come to faith in Christ, those who believe and trust in Jesus, they are then baptized as a picture of what Christ has done for them and as an act of obedience, an act of devotion, an act of worship, an act of commitment to the Lord. So what is it that we are saying in baptism? What is it that we are doing? Well, this morning I want to come to the book of 1 Corinthians, and this is not typically a baptism passage, but it does explain what the Christian life is, which is illustrated and demonstrated and proclaimed in baptism. So Paul was writing to this church in Corinth, and they were really messed up. Anytime I get discouraged about problems in churches, I just go to 1 Corinthians and realize, yeah, we're in good company. We are really messed up people. And they were messed up people, and Jesus loved them, and Jesus loves us, and He's not given up on us. And that's really good news. But Paul wrote to this Corinthian church, and they had a lot of problems. They were fighting with each other. They were divided. They were separated. They were suing each other, taking each other to court and trying to get the secular court to adjudicate their cases against each other. And they were practicing immorality. You see, they had it in their minds that, well, yeah, I've given my soul to Christ. Christ has saved my soul, but I can do whatever I want to with my body. And, you know, there are a lot of people who think that way. There are a lot of people who think that, well, I'll give this part of my life to Jesus, but I can do the rest. I can do as I please with the rest of my life. And so here in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is trying to address all of those and many more issues by bringing them to this crucial truth that we all need to understand. If you're willing and able, would you stand as we read these two verses? May we humbly hear and receive and believe what God says to us in His holy word. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Heavenly Father, may we hear and feel the weight of these words today. There are some who have gathered today and they carve out just a little bit of time on Sunday and they think they're good. And they can do with the rest of their week, with the rest of their lives as they please. May these verses come smashing through that ideology and it crush that lifestyle. May these words call us to the lives that we ought to live. Holy Spirit, my words will fall empty and useless unless you empower them and drive them home. And I pray that you would. I ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, that he might redeem a people for the glory of his Father. Amen. You may be seated. Kylie, Ella, Max, Dylan, Jake, never, never forget. You who have been baptized, never, ever forget. You who are believers, you who are Christians, never, ever forget. Number one, you were bought at a price. The Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned. Every single one of us have turned away. We have disobeyed God, who is the giver of life, who is the establisher of all that is good and noble and true and right. And we have said, I don't care. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you want. God, I'm going to go my own way. That is sin, and we've all done it. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And we don't love God with all that we are. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And we don't love our neighbors as ourselves. You don't have to go and shoot up a Walmart to hate your neighbor. You can just despise people and look down upon them and hold hatred and animosity in your heart. You can hold bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. You can take your life and do with it as you please. And you can live for yourself. The Bible teaches us that the wages of our sin is death. We understand consequences, right? We understand that if we break the law and we get caught, we go to jail. We understand that if we rob a bank, we're going to be pursued. The Bible says if you sin, you have earned something. You deserve something and you deserve death. You deserve judgment from God. But the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, will not have to pay the penalty for their sin, but instead have eternal life. You were bought at a price because Jesus came and He rescued, He redeemed, and He ransomed you. He gave His life for you. The only way to save you from the penalty of your sin was for Him to give His life for you. And He did. He said, I will die on the cross for you. Jesus came and He sacrificed Himself so that you might be forgiven, that you might be redeemed, that you might be received into God's forever family. You owed a debt that you could never pay, so Jesus paid it for you. If you are a Christian here today, you have been bought at a great price. And if you're not a Christian here today, I want you to know that God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. That Jesus loves you so much that He willingly laid down His life for you. So that if you will put your faith and trust in Him, just like we heard from Ella and Kylie today, and Jake and Dylan and Max, just like He did for me, I put my faith and trust in Him, and He forgave me of my sins. Not because I deserve it, not because I'm worthy, but because He's so gracious and kind. Friend, if you're not a Christian today, you can be. You can be forgiven if you'll trust in Jesus. Never forget, you were bought at a price. Secondly, because of this, you are not your own. One of the greatest rock bands ever, Bon Jovi. It's true. 2000, they reinvented themselves and released a hit called It's My Life. It was based on Frank Sinatra's ideology when he sang, I'll do it my way. And the reality is that's an anthem that so many of us sing. It's my life, I'll do it my way. And we don't need some catchy pop tune to tell us that that's how most people think and how most people live, because we see it all the time. But because you, Christian, have been bought with a price, you are not your own. It's not your life. Your life belongs to Christ. Your life belongs to God. Your life is His life. This means you and I are to live lives surrendered to the Lord. Not my will, but Thy will be done, as Jesus taught us to pray. Now, this gives us tremendous security. Dylan, do you ever wake up in the middle of the night worrying about electricity bills? Never? Jake, are you ever concerned that you're going to walk to the refrigerator and find there is no food in the house? No? Ella, are you afraid that there will be no clothes available for you to wear at all? Not at all. When Max, when it's time to get in the car and go to football practice or baseball or whatever it is, are you concerned that the car's not going to work? Yeah, not really. Are you concerned about how you're going to get it to work? No, not really. No. Kylie, do you trust that mom and dad are going to take care of stuff for you? Take care of your house? Take care of things around? Take care of you? Yeah. I miss the days of renting. Can I get an amen from any homeowners out there? Yeah. Man, we work real hard. We save. We scrub. Yeah. We go buy that house. And man, it's great for the first day. And then the toilet clogs. And you don't get to call the super. You got to fix that sucker yourself. Listen, when you own something, you got to take care of it. You got to maintain it. But if you got somebody else to take care of you, you don't really have a care in the world, do you? You don't have to worry about how to pay the bills. You don't have to worry about the food in the refrigerator. You don't have to worry about making sure you got clothes to wear and getting to and from your activities. Mom and Dad take care of that, right? When we hear in Scripture, you are not your own, this is a wonderful truth for us because that means you don't have to worry about stuff. Some of you are like kids worrying about paying the electric bill or the water bill. What are you doing worrying about that? Mom and Dad will take care of that. You don't have to do that. It's not your life. God is going to take care of it. And the Bible tells us that He will accomplish all His good purposes for us. Every good thing that God sets out to do, He will do for us. Does that mean when bad stuff happens, God has failed? No. But God can take those bad things and He can turn them into things that accomplish great good in our lives. Because that's just how God works. Not only do you not have to worry about stuff because He's going to accomplish all His good purposes for us, He's going to protect you and care for you because you belong to Him. You're His. And He takes care of you. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. How would He not take care of you? God paid too high of a price to just set you aside and forget all about you. So you're not your own. You're not in charge of your life, but that's not a bad thing. The third thing that you need to never, ever, ever forget. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves into your life. Now, you can't feel Him. Receiving the Holy Spirit's not like eating a great big meal and then you feel full later, like, oh, I ate too much. The Holy Spirit moves into your soul. He's in your life. He's with you. This means that you are never, ever alone. You're never alone. Now, you may feel lonely at times. You start a new school. You go to summer camp for the first time. You go off to college, away from family and friends. You move to a new city to start a new job. You go through a crisis and you look around and you don't see anybody around you. You may feel alone, but Christian, you are never, ever alone. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And Holy Spirit, He's in you. He's with you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit's with you. He is with you, and He's not going to abandon you. You're never alone. God's always with you. So don't be afraid, and why don't you give sin a second thought and a third thought? Do you really want to do this terrible thing with God right here with you? Let's fess up. How many of us would avoid certain behaviors, words, activities if the preacher showed up? Yeah. I know it. People, you know, they kind of straighten up a little bit. I was with a group of people once, and they, some of them were cussing like sailors, and they were, you know, they. Just, you know. And somebody finally turns to me and says, so what do you do? Pastor at the Baptist church. And the color from his face drained. He says, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. You know? So why are you apologizing to me? You know. All of us know, you know, I'm going to act a certain way. I'm going to behave a certain way when there are certain people around. Well, if God is always with you, shouldn't you always act and live and believe and behave like God is always with you? always there? And He is. I find this a great weapon to fight sin in my life. You know, when I stop thinking about God is with me, that's when I find it very easy to sin. But when it's in the forefront of my thinking, God's right here. Know what? God is right here with you. Be careful how you treat this person. Changes my demeanor. That's when I forget that. That's why I need to remember that the Holy Spirit is in me, always with me. Because the Holy Spirit is in me and with me, He's always working on me, and He's always working on you too. The Holy Spirit is in you, He's with you, and He's working through you. He is cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. He's changing your character. The Holy Spirit is producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in your life. And a good way to test the Holy Spirit's progress is thinking about, how do I relate to my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my neighbors? It says, oh, I need to make some progress here. Holy Spirit, help me. The Holy Spirit's working to produce the fruit of righteousness in your life. He's helping you to live the kind of life that you ought to live. You and I can't do it on our own. We need His help. And He provides it. He gives it. He gives us gifts, abilities, so that we can do all the things that God wants us to do. All the things that God has called us to do. So because you have been bought at a price, you are not your own, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, therefore. See that in the verse here? Verse 20. Therefore. When you see the word therefore in the Bible, you want to ask, what is it there for? Why is it there? This is an application. This is a conclusion. This is an inference that's being made. This is the point. If these things are true, and they are true, if you're a Christian, you've been bought with a price, you're not your own, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Because of that, what ought to be true and real in my life? Well, first, honor God. Because you've been bought with a price, because you're not your own, because the Holy Spirit is in you, honor God. Glorify God. Put the spotlight, put the focus, put the attention on God. Make your life centered on Him. Just like the earth spins around the sun, make sure your life is spinning around Jesus. Make Him the focus. Make Him the center. Glorify God. Seek His pleasure above all. Had an old seminary teacher who liked to say, if I'm pleasing God and you're pleasing God, eventually we'll please each other. But if I try to please you and you try to please me, nobody's going to be pleased. That's really true. Make it your aim to honor God. When people see you and hear you and experience you, do they think much of God? Or do they think less of God? Or do they even think of God at all? What a shame for us as Christians to encounter people and not cause people to think about the Lord. So honor God with your life. Honor God with your life. All that you have, all that you are, make it about Him. So four areas to think about. Honor God with your life. Give Him your time. Give Him your time. Not just Sunday morning, but give Him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Give Him all your time. Now, that doesn't mean that you become a little monk and live in a little cloister far, far away. And no, it means when you go to work, be a Christian at work. When you're at home, be a Christian at home. Honor God wherever you are, every moment. Give Him your talent. Honor God with the talent that He's put in your life. All of you have abilities. All of you have gifts. You think, I don't have nothing. Yes, you do. Sometimes we like to think that we have nothing to offer so that we can get out of doing anything. But every single one of us have been blessed, have been gifted, equipped by God to do things. So whatever it is you can do, do it for the honor and the glory of God. Give God your treasure. Now, if you're visiting here today, I don't talk about money often. But church folks, you know, this is a good barometer of our commitment to the Lord. If we honor God with our resources, if we put Him first, what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or what you'll wear. That's what the pagans do. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll take care of all the rest for you. Honor God with your testimony, with the words that you say. Go be a witness. Go tell other people. When you go to school here in a week and a half, tell your friends about Jesus. When you go to work Monday morning, share the hope of Jesus. I promise you there are going to be people who are looking for some hope, looking for some answers tomorrow morning. They're looking for them today. Christian, you have the opportunity to say, I know this world's a mess, but Jesus is our hope. Give them your testimony. And do it always. Honor God with your life always. Never a time, never a moment that God does not come first. In the difficult and the hard times, put Him first. In the good times, the happy times, especially, put Him first. I find it interesting that when things get real bad, people get real serious about their commitment and their relationship with the Lord. And when things get easy, they check out. Don't do that. Always, always put God first. Every moment, every day, for the rest of your life, to all eternity. In 1563, in Heidelberg, Germany, church leaders gathered together to discuss how they could teach the Christian faith to the masses. And they developed an interesting system. They put together 52 lessons where they would teach the essential doctrines of the Christian faith that they wanted to pass on. Topic number one was, what is our only hope in life and in death? What's our only hope? And here's how they answered it. That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Does this describe you? Is that the summary of your life? Can you use the words of 1 Corinthians 6 to say, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. The Holy Spirit is in me. And therefore, by God's grace, with all I am, with all I have, I live for His honor and His glory. Does that describe you? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the only hope that you have is Jesus. Will you trust Him? He will receive you. You think, I've done so many bad things. I've done so many terrible things. Jesus forgives murderers, adulterers, thieves,
liars. There's not one person in this world that is so far away from the grace of God that He cannot reach if you'll just turn to Him. Will you trust Him today? Heavenly Father, I pray that we would remember, that we would never forget, that we've been bought with a price, that we're not our own, and that the Holy Spirit is in us. So may we therefore glorify and honor You with our lives always. And I pray for that person who is here today, who is not a Christian. May Your Holy Spirit convict them of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness, and bring them to faith and hope in Christ. I ask this in His name. Amen.